Thank you for listening to the Fields Brothers Show.
Well, Jeff, I've been rethinking this whole deal with the your involvement with the Barbasol Golf Championship. And maybe I was just a little too hasty.
You said the other week that we're not going to have to talk about this every week.
And I don't want to talk about it. I know, but I don't think you're going to have me bring it up anymore, though. But I did have a thought that I just wanted to share that I thought maybe you would appreciate.
Somehow I'm a little suspicious of what thought you may
have. Well, I know I've been sometimes slightly hard on you because of your involvement with golf, and it does strike me. The whole Barbasol Golf Championship just really does strike me as humorous. But anyway, and you were telling me you have to pay, which is still just gets me. You have to pay $35 for the privilege of being able to work at the Barbasol Golf Championship here in Nicholasville in July.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Well,
we get a shirt out of the deal.
Oh, yeah. It's a $35 shirt. Oh,
I mean, normally it'd be more than that. So,
I'm
taking advantage of them.
So, what's it just says Barbasol Golf Championship on it?
Well, it's a nice golf shirt, nice collared golf shirt, you know, Lewis style.
Oh, it's a collared golf shirt. Okay, yeah. Well, is there any other kind, Jeff? You don't see.
Just making sure. Okay. Now, what I am wondering, I have one from last year, so if it's the same color, I'm not sure I need another one of the exact same color. Yeah. So, I'm kind of hoping it's a little different color.
It's got like the logo or something on it.
Yeah, it's got the logo.
Okay. So, you get to stand in the gallery is what you call
inside
it, right?
The ropes.
Inside the ropes.
The gallery is where the average, your run-of-the-mill
fans are. You're inside, so you're like inside in the playable ropes. Area?
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Inside the ropes. And I don't
know. Well, what do you mean inside the ropes? So the ropes are the ropes.
Entire course is roped off.
Okay.
Every hole from tee to green is roped off.
And the people have to stay on the outside of the ropes.
Correct.
But you get to go on the inside of the ropes.
No,
because you paid your
$35. Right.
You get to go. Well, I just think it, you know, so you get to shush people if they're too loud or if they're talking, chattering, answering a cell phone goes off, anything at all while somebody
we
is
maintain law
golfing.
And order.
Yeah,
yes.
We maintain law and order. But you're not given specific guidelines on when you can tell people to shush or what, you know, what constitutes a shushable offense.
Yeah, we had a class, you know, a little training session
before
on kind of how to be a marshal. I don't know if they gave many details on that or not. I mean, some of it is somewhat common sense.
Well, it's up to your discretion, right?
If they're too, I'm a little afraid to answer this, but yeah, some extent.
Let you decide when to shush somebody.
And
well,
they do tell us to be
see.
Polite. They do tell us to be polite to the crowd. So they do give us some instruction on how we are to request. But typically, it's a, you know, if a golfer's, you know, you don't want to when he's in the middle of his backswing, yell, "Hey, quiet down over there."
Right, you have to catch him before he gets into a swing.
Timing is everything.
Right, I get that.
So, yeah, but you would, you know,
that's
quiet please or something like that. So,
there again, if I pay my $35 and I get to be a marshal, if there's a slot open for me, and then I get to shush the crowd if they're, you know, anybody's chattering or there's, I mean, the phone goes off or anything not during the swing, but before the swing, I get to say to everybody, "Quiet, please."
Yes.
Shush.
Yes.
Hush, y'all. That's what your sign says. I can at least wave my sign at them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wave my sign and say, "Hush, you all."
Sometimes you do kind of hold it up. You just look at them. If the golfer's too close to swing, look at them and hold your sign up.
Okay. I can see where a fella could get a lot of enjoyment out of that. And so that's why I'm rethinking my whole position of making fun of being a marshal at the Barbasol Golf Championship. I'm thinking, I might enjoy. I don't know if I want to pay $35 or not. I don't know
I'm not sure the PGA Tour is ready for
Roger Fields
to be inside the ropes.
But if I pay my $35, I mean,
you know, they have all different types of, you know, ways to volunteer. They have a parking, you know,
I don't
parking
want to be in the parking
attendant.
Lot.
I kind of see you more as the guy in the parking lot directing where to park the
cars.
Yeah,
no, I don't want to. I'm not doing that. I want to be shush people. I want to be there to say, I'm going to be looking around for anybody being disruptive, and I want to be able to say, "Hush, you all," or "Quiet, please," or something. So anyway, I'm rethinking my whole thing on the Barbasol Golf Championship. All right, I'm done with that. Just want to share that. So anyway, so what else new in your neck of the woods?
Well, the one continuing in the sports theme, kind of had a neat little, I don't know what you call this, kind of handing the baton, although it wasn't a baton type of thing. As you know, I used to coach basketball,
I've
high
heard
school
that,
basketball,
yes.
Homeschool. We talked about that on one of the early
podcasts.
And you
won a championship.
We won a national championship. National, let's see, what was it? National Christian Homeschool Boys Varsity Division II.
And that was, that's been a while since that happened. I mean,
2010.
That's still, so that was that back when they still used the peach baskets?
No, so, you know, next year, I mean, it's hard to believe. Next year will be our 10-year anniversary.
10-year anniversary.
You know, a lot of these times, these championship teams have reunions. Maybe we need to have a reunion next year. But anyway, well, so went out on top. I retired then.
So and, you retired right after that season, right?
Yeah,
after
that was the last.
That was
I never coached again.
Wow.
We won, we won the championship. And 32 teams in our division, we won. Five games.
Now these were homeschool teams. Homeschool teams.
Yeah, boys varsity homeschool teams from various parts of the country. But anyway, so I retired from that. Dawson, our youngest son, was just kind of like a ball boy on that team. He wasn't old enough to play. He was much younger at the time. Well, then later on, he played for Bluegrass United, played a couple years, finished, two or three years ago was his last year playing, probably 3 years ago. And I was just a dad then. I went to coach then. Well, last year he got – I know the coach now, a real good guy that's coaching the team now. And Dawson got hanging around the team to help a little bit in practice, and he got to know them better and better. And lo and behold, guess who they have asked to be the junior varsity coach of Bluegrass United boys team this coming season?
Well, I can tell you who it was. It wasn't me. They didn't ask me.
So, yeah, so they have asked Dawson. And so Dawson, my youngest son, is going to be the coach of the Bluegrass United Blue Hawks junior varsity team this coming season.
And he's not. I mean, he has no kids, so he doesn't have a kid on the team. He's just totally doing this. I mean, had kids on the team, right?
I only coached when I had a kid on the team. So he's just doing it because he enjoys it and has a little extra time, not a lot of extra time, but a little bit, and really enjoys it. And he enjoys volunteering for stuff. He volunteers for various things.
He works for UPS.
You know, the funny, he came over the house the other day, and I was checking to see if I had my old clipboard. You know, coaches have the clipboard that has the diagram on the basketball.
Is this the one that opens up where you can put stuff on the inside
well,
of it?
No, this is just just like a clipboard that's just white with a basketball court
diagram. I got it.
So it doesn't have an inside compartment.
All right.
But, you know, it's amazing. They use those things as long as I can remember. If you watch it on TV, college or NBA, they'll still be using those in the huddle. Now, I guess because they do throw them occasionally, so you don't want to be throwing an iPad around.
So you ever throw
your clipboard? I never did throw mine. So, but anyway, he was by the house the other day, and I thought I had it, but I wasn't sure, and I found my old clipboard with a couple of coaching books, instruction books.
Bring
on
a tear to your eye.
So it was a touching moment when I handed him my clipboard and passing it on to another generation, the coaching tree, kind of like Rick Pitino and his son, you know, who also is coaching. Now, hopefully we're only like the Pitinos in a very, very limited
a lot
way.
Like the Pitinos, but yeah.
But that was kind of fun.
So you were a homeschool basketball coach. Now you've moved on to bigger and greater things. Now you're a marshal at the Barbasol Golf Championship. So, okay. Well, that's cool.
So, yeah, do enjoy sports. And, you know, as everyone knows, I am the more athletic of the Fields brothers. And so that's just kind of what I enjoy doing. So,
all right. I'll let that go. All right. That's fine. Well, I have a topic. And I came out of a conversation I have with somebody that, you know, I think believers a lot of times, Jeff, just get kind of, yeah, you see what's going on in the world. I mean, the world is going totally crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we now approve of things that are just unbelievable. You know, we're very confused on all kinds of issues relating gender. We're just all kinds of things are going. Our culture seems to be getting more violent.
Mm-hmm.
The church is having a lot of problems, or at least the organized church is having a lot of problems. A lot of pastors falling. A lot of things are going on. It just seems like a lot of things that used to be kind of stable seem to no longer be stable.
Sure. Yeah. At the same time, there are other things in the world that are getting better. I agree with you, so I'm not disagreeing with you. But, I forget the numbers, but in terms of world hunger and mm-hmm. economic things like that, you know, there's actually some dramatic improvement in some situations like that.
That's a great
point. So kind of both are going on at the same time, but I understand what you're saying. Yes.
But I guess, and maybe it's because of the news tends to report a lot of the bad stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, like it's the old thing, if it bleeds, it leads. And so, you know, lines are better. So anyway, it's easy for a believer, I think, to kind of just get overwhelmed and discouraged and down. And, you know, and I know that we understand that, you know, the world is, I don't think, you know, the Bible would teach that the world's going to get better. The world's going to not do well. And eventually, you know, Jesus will come back and straighten things out. I think the Bible teaches that.
Kind of gets into premillennial, postmillennial, and all that. One of the views of that was that things do kind of eventually at the end get better and ushers in. We're not in that camp.
Yeah,
I don't know if anyone
camp.
Really is anymore. But
yeah.
that was a little bit of that thinking.
But there's just a lot of stuff. I think the Bible talks about a lot. I was kind of surprised how much stuff was in there about how we relate to the world, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I think you're right, too. I mean, so, in some respects, the world is not, you know, is not getting worse off in every single category. But it just seems like a lot of stuff, maybe there again, maybe it's in the news. But, you know, you can't let the, you can't get overwhelmed by what's going on in the organized church or the world. And we'll come back and talk about more about this in just a moment. Well, Jeff, I know you've been really curious as to how my drumming career is going. Even though you haven't asked or brought it up.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Well, I got a new drum set. Career. I got a drum set, a new drum set. I decided several months ago I didn't like the one I had. I've been doing some research, so I sold it. Sold it on Marketplace.
It's got dated. I mean, it seems like every month or so you've got some new thing you've got, and then I never hear about it anymore.
Like what? What else?
I forget about
it. It's the only hobby I have.
You were playing tennis. You were getting into tennis for a while.
Oh, we attend. We're members of Top Seed Tennis Club because we go to the gym. We still do that.
Didn't you buy bicycles one time? Did you buy new bicycles?
Yeah.
Do you go bicycling?
Well, we just got them. We just got them tuned up to be able to ride them this year.
It's June.
Well,
you just now got them tuned up.
No, we just now did. Well, true. We could have done it sooner, but we don't have a lot of time. But well, I say just now. It's probably a month ago. You know, and so.
Okay. So you got a new drum set.
Okay. Great. Are you great. Through? I mean, I'm sorry that some of us don't have valuable hobbies like golf, you know.
Hey, by the way, I think my shoulder is getting better. You know, I've not been able to play golf because of the kind of a stiff shoulder. They say that just takes a long time to loosen up. So good news is it is making progress. I'm hoping by the end of the season here I'll be able to
So there's a possibility, like if one of the players can't make it at the Barbersoff golf, they may say, hey, Jeff, why don't you just step in here and let somebody else be the marshal?
It does not quite work that way. But anyway. Okay, so new drum set.
Yeah, I got a Tama drum set. That's the brand I wanted. T-A-M-A, Tama, and so I'm learning drums. So anyway, I just thought you'd be happy for me. Awesome. I guess not. I guess I was just anyway, all right, let's go back to our
time. I saw a thing real quick. I might show it to you after the podcast. I just saw it on the way out here. A friend of a fellow I met in at Baton Rouge when we were there posted a thing on Facebook about it shows this is why we don't have drums or didn't have drums or something, but it shows a praise song of a typical praise, kind of a smaller church, and young lady singing one of the familiar Ocean song or one of the, whatever that song is. And the drummer just rips into a drum solo right in the middle of a nice slow chorus. Yeah. It's really pretty funny to hear that. I'll play that.
Well, you're not supposed to. I know enough to know you're not supposed to do that. Drummer's not supposed to do that. You're supposed to enhance the song, not try to take over.
Well, we'll cut this short so you can get to your
The world, and we just kind of sometimes get overwhelmed with the world. And there's just a lot of cool scriptures. One of them is a classic in 1 John 4:4 says, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is within you is greater than he who is within the world.
Yep.
And that's not a bad thing to remember, you know, that just the greater one lives in you, not the world. Because it kind of works for me in the sense that when I see something really horrendous going on in the world, it's like, wow, some evil forces behind that. That kind of reminds me, well, as evil as that is, what lives in me is greater than that evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so the worse an evil looks, the more, in a way, it's a reminder that the greater one is in me.
So it's actually kind of a turn that around to a positive type of thing.
Yeah.
And first verse that comes to my mind is John, I think, 16. In this world, you will have tribulation.
You're going to have trouble.
Yeah. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yep. So. But, you know, I think sometimes there's a sense that, or just a kind of, I don't know what it is, just a feeling that, boy, you know, we Christians, we're just going to get our act together and we're going to make the world a better place and the world's going to get better and the church is going to get better. And the Bible doesn't teach any of that. And
it was really bad in the first century.
Oh, yeah, it was bad.
The out and out immorality.
Yeah, it was totally.
It was just, I mean, in some ways worse than what we, a lot of ways really worse than what we see in the U.S. here. Now there's more. With the media and all that, gets around quicker now, but in terms of the visibility.
It depends on what category you're talking about. Now, if you're talking about war, war back then was very brutal and all that, but, you know, we're capable of killing a lot more people now a lot faster, you know, and so some of the wars now see a lot more death. So there's just a lot of things. But we always tend to take history back as from when we started paying attention as little kids. Mm-hmm. So our view of history is a very short window. So it just seems like for the last, 40, 50, 60 years that the world's getting a little bit worse, and that and it's true that the organized church is not doing that great in most respects. I mean, some places it is.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens to all these church buildings here in 10 or 20 years. We may have talked about that a little bit, but yeah.
Well, and some are doing fine, but such, you know, a lot are not. But, you know, the point is, whatever's happening in the world, even when I think of the church, I look at the church, and Jesus did say he would build his church. Mm-hmm. And so even if it looks like the organized church is not doing that well, that lets me know something of the church that Jesus is building is still doing well. He is good on his promise. It may mean, you know, however you want to play that out, it may mean that the grassroots believers are still growing and things are doing well in that respect, but we're just seeing the organizations not do as well. But even when it comes to the world, it just reminds me that, you know, we're not promised the world's going to get better, but we have overcome the world. Actually, that's one of the verses in 1 John 5:4. For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of stuff in the Bible. I'm not going to go through all the scripture, but there's a lot of stuff about how we relate to the world and that what we've been given in God, in Jesus, does have an impact on how we relate to the world. And we don't have to be overwhelmed by the world. We don't have to be discouraged or down in the dumps about the world. I love the verse, you know, I don't know if you remember, you know, a long time ago, I think we talked about that, you know, Psalm 37 says, do not fret yourself because of evildoers. You know, a lot of us, it's easy to fret. Well, the world's been so bad.
That verse, you know? I heard someone share on that verse many years ago, and that was insightful. That I memorized at one time the old King James. So what is it? Yeah. There's two parts of that verse. And they're, fret not thyself because of evildoers.
Yeah, well, it's mentioned that several times in Psalm 37. There's other Psalm statements. Psalm 37, But the first verse is, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers.
Okay.
You know? And so it's just the fact that a lot of times we do get, we do fret. You know, I talk to people like, and a lot of these are believers that are pretty solid in their faith, I would say, that just still get discouraged because of what's going on in the world. And they'll bring up things to me in conversation all the time.
It can be on kind of two different levels. One, in terms of just its effect on other people, or its effect on ourselves. You know, some believers would say I'm just not sure I can continue with the Lord or really keep growing. There's just so much stuff around me and so much evil around me. So some may worry that way, or others can worry about its effect on everybody else.
Yeah,
that type of thing.
The people that I hang around with are usually worried about the effect on everybody else. Mm-hmm. They're just sad to see, you know, lack of respect of other people. They're sad to see just how people just seem to be totally absorbed into themselves, you know, they just don't think about anything else. And there's a coarseness, you know, in the world. And so I don't know. Some people just allow themselves to get down in the dumps over that.
The other verse that comes to my mind, it's not specifically mentioned in the world, but it relates, is, you know, where sin abounded, what?
Grace abounds
grace
more.
Grace did much more abound. Yeah. So I think that's kind of getting kind of turning positive. What it also makes me think of a couple of verses that we talked about in the, I remember we had fun with the chapter in our book, Breaking the Hex, available on Amazon, that on Delmar, you know, in the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and it says, you know, bleep, 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 Delmar got saved is in line in the movie when he gets baptized. And one of the guys, you know, Delmar got saved. And it's a funny line. Then, so we asked the question in the book, okay, saved from what?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize, like in Acts 2, you know, when the people cry out, what should we do? You know, before they said, you know, he goes on to talk about, you know, repent, be baptized, save yourselves or be saved. It's actually the passive, be saved from this untoward generation is the old King James. Mm-hmm. And then in Galatians 1:4 talks about that you might be rescued from this present evil age.
Yeah.
And so there is I remember reading some Watchman Nee stuff years ago, compared that to baptism. And I thought it was pretty insightful stuff about how 1 Peter 3 talks about Noah and baptism and that how, talks about how Noah was saved. We think, okay, what was Noah saved from? You know, the ark saved him, but it didn't save him from, the ark didn't save him, you know, the water saved him from the world. The water didn't save him from death. The water would have killed him if it hadn't been for the ark, but it did save him from the world. The corrupt generation was gone. So we risen with Christ.
Right.
We are delivered from a present evil age.
So it looks to me like, I mean, we can rightfully believe that no matter how bad the world is, that we don't have to get swept away by that. We don't have to get swept up in it. We don't have to be down the dumps over it. We don't have to get up every day with a woe is me because the world is so bad.
And it was, the Apostle Paul was in an even worse condition world than we are in most ways, I think.
So anyway, I just think it's a good thing for believers to remember that You know, you can't expect the world to get better, but what we have within us is greater than what's in the world.
Roger, one thing I want to mention, and you're aware of this, but our listeners are, I don't think we've mentioned this before, but on Monday, June 17th, and so we'll probably mention it next week's podcast as well, but in case, you know, reality is not everybody listens to our podcast the first day
shocking.
It comes out. So
yeah,
I know it's shocking, and they got backsliders out there that can take around, but anyway, we're just kidding about that. But that's why I want to mention it a little bit earlier. But on Monday, June 17th, the plan is, if all goes as planned, I will be a guest on the radio program called Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher and a couple of other fellows host that together.
So the name of the podcast is Basic Gospel?
Basic Gospel. Or it's a radio show, and they're also live on YouTube.
Okay.
So if anyone's on Facebook, they can look for Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. Or if they're not on Facebook...
Is it a call-in show? I mean,
yeah, it's a live. Now, I'm guessing we're not going to be having people call in while I'm there or while I'm on the show. It's only like about a 25
minute.
Well,
that'd be great if they would. I love to call in, Jeff, with you. So, Jeff, tell them about that Barbasol Golf Championship.
First calls from Delmar from Kentucky. Yeah. No, wait a minute. This sounds suspicious. But
yeah. So you got to get some clarity and make sure that.
I'll tell you the wrong time.
Yeah,
it's
right, boy.
Like,
we can call in. But I'm calling in. I'm telling you right now.
So it's basically, they're on like 16 or so radio stations around the country, and a couple of those in Canada. Some of those are live. Not all those are live. And they're on one of the XM Sirius, that family talk channel.
Oh, yeah?
It's 131 or something like that. I think it's on 10 o'clock in the evening. But anyway, so I'm looking forward to that. And he'd read our book, Breaking the Hex, and was in like that. And So glad for that invitation. I'm looking forward to that on Monday, June 17th at 4 p.m., about a 25-minute interview. And he put I actually thought of this in your last segment, talking about how we've overcome the world, and I mentioned the thing about baptism, and it kind of illustrates that we're risen again and separated from the world. Bob Christopher just returned from Israel. He led a little tour there, Israel, for about 10 days, and he had the picture the other day of him outside the empty tomb, the kind of the classic garden tomb, and I had the opportunity to visit there a couple of years ago. So it's the empty tomb, and he's standing outside of it. And I thought, you know, not only is it neat to see an empty tomb, but the idea of him standing there in front of it, to me, kind of illustrated that it's not only is Jesus risen, but we are risen with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
kind of
like that Bob is risen as well, and everybody in Christ are risen with him. So looking forward to that. But
well, Jeff, I have something I need to bounce off of you, and you know, I've come up with my own spiritual growth plan that I like to unveil.
Oh, boy.
And so, you know, you need a plan, Jeff. You need principles. You need steps. You need a plan if you're going to grow spiritually. And
sure
so I have
that?
Developed well, you can comment at the end. You can say whatever you want to say at the end. But I think you will see the wisdom in this plan once it's unveiled. Now, I've called this plan. It's a 5-step plan. I've called this plan because it kind of worked out way. Well, it's called the, are you ready? It's called the Roger Plan.
Is this an acronym or R stands for something?
Oh, R, yes.
I didn't even know that. Okay.
Well, see,
right,
just
okay. R stands for repent.
No.
Oh.
Just hang
it.
just hold on.
I'm tempted to look at your piece of paper.
No, don't
there,
look
but
at my piece of paper.
Okay, I won't look.
Stands for, first of all, regularly attend all known church services unless there is a medical reason why you can't.
Yeah, we just,
in other words, don't be bailing out on a church service because your kid's playing Little League or because you want to watch a game or you're just lazy.
This gets into that. You remember that famous category of ox in the ditch? There was something in the Old Testament law that you were allowed to skip something if your ox was in the ditch. And so that was always the catch-all phrase. You know, like your car's broken down, you couldn't make it. Well, my ox was in the ditch. And that's kind of the catch. You don't remember that?
Well, I remember. I know this verse you're talking about. Yeah. I don't remember it being used like that as a blanket thing.
Well, I mean,
I continue?
Regularly
attend all available church services unless there is a medical reason why you can't. If you're in the hospital, that's fine.
Okay.
If your kids go in the emergency room, that's fine. But you can't.
It has
to
be a hospital. So just.
Well, it's going to be a real medical reason. No, you can be. If you're just real sick and throwing up, vomiting, we don't want you in church doing that.
Yeah,
so,
I don't want you contagious. Okay, I understand.
Two,
What do you think? Give me a chance to guess. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, guess.
Oh,
you're not going to guess. So,
okay, go ahead.
Obliterate all known sin in your life. Just obliterate. Just get rid of it. Now, who could argue with that? Just obliterate all known sin in your life.
All known sin. So regularly attend all church services. Obliterate all known sin in your life.
Right.
Okay.
You do these things. I'm telling you, you're going to grow. G. That's the next letter. Roger. There's no D in the way I spell Roger. So R O G. Get yourself into a small group. G. Get yourself into a small group.
Okay.
Like a life group, men's group, well, women's group, whatever.
So it's not enough to regularly attend. So that doesn't fall into the category of regularly attend all known church services.
No.
So get yourself in a small group. Okay.
Yeah.
What if your church doesn't have small groups? You got to create your own, I guess.
I hadn't thought about that, Jeff. I don't know. I have to think about that.
You looked rather stumped there.
I never considered that. I thought all churches had small groups, so maybe they don't. Okay.
So then it would just be a, how do you say Roger without the G? That'd just be a roar. That wouldn't.
No, I think most churches have small groups now.
Okay.
Some kind. They have classes. They have something. I mean, almost every church has maybe a Sunday school class or maybe a small group. They have something. So.
Energetically.
No. Encourage yourself and others to do more stuff for God.
Encourage yourself and others. So you wake up in the morning.
Well, you just encourage yourself. Jeff.
What are you going to do for God today?
Okay. And encourage somebody else. What are you doing for God today? Encourage them. I mean, who can argue with that?
I saw a church sign one time in December. I was in a church lobby or something else. Great big banner across the church lobby. It said, what will you do? I don't remember if it was for Jesus or God, but what will you do for God in 1970 or whatever the year was?
They must have read my plan. So
maybe you're the one that put that banner up.
Could have been.
So encourage yourself and others to do more stuff for God. Okay. How much stuff do we have to do? How much is more?
Jeff, if I have to tell you that, then obviously you're not listening to God. Right. I mean, just do more. I don't know how much more, just more. Whatever I'm doing now, do more.
Okay. The next day, do more than that.
Well, I say the next month.
Okay.
Give yourself a month.
Okay.
And then after, then do more stuff.
Okay.
Okay. And then R is repent of all known sin that you are not able to obliterate in the second step. So if there's something you weren't able to obliterate, at least repent of it.
Repent of what I haven't obliterated. So the non-obliterated, repent of all non-obliterated sins.
Yeah, I can say it that way.
That's another way of saying it. Oh, it just rolls right off the tongue there. Yeah. Repent of all non-obliterated. We can make that into a song or something. Obliterated sins. So if I do all these things.
You're going to grow. You're going to be a virtual, like Dwight L. Moody or Charles Spurgeon, Billy Graham.
You're going to be a real disciple.
You're going to be a wholehearted follower.
Completely follower of Jesus.
Okay. Wholehearted. If you just do this stuff. I mean, you can't argue with this stuff. Getting rid of sin, serving God more, attending stuff, repenting. So anyway, that's my plan, the Roger plan.
What if I can't do it?
What do you mean you can't do it? Of course you can do it. Then you're not really trying, Jeff. What do you mean you can't? You can attend stuff. You can repent. You can encourage somebody. You can do more stuff for God. You can get yourself into a small group.
Okay.
And you can obliterate all those sins. Just quit sinning. Just stop it. I mean,
then I wouldn't need forgiveness. I guess that makes it not. You don't need forgiveness if you're not sinning.
Okay. I'm fine. Whatever.
Okay.
Just obliterate. Don't tell me that you're for sin. Are you for sin?
Oh, no.
Well, then obliterate the sin.
I'm against it.
All right. So. I'm just trying to help here.
So are you going to put this in print or kind of?
I'm thinking about putting it in a quick glance conversion chart where you can stick it under your cushion, your sofa, and pull it out whenever you need to if you forget the plan.
It's kind of the new five-finger exercise.
Yeah.
You got five things
there. It's a Roger plan.
I see a diagram with the hand with the letters.
I don't know if I'll do that or not. Maybe. I'm thinking about marketing for 1995.
Could you
like a little booklet, you know.
Oh, I was thinking just the year 1995.
No.
Oh, wait a minute. We're a little past
that.
No.
$19.
Okay.
And 95 cents.
All right. Well, any other disclaimers you want to throw in after that, now that you've spilled all that out?
No, just I think it'd be a great plan. That's all. That's it. If you want to comment, go ahead.
Somehow, Roger, I don't think spiritual growth is something we can control by what we do. I think it's more a case of believing in Jesus and trusting him and putting our focus on. See, all these things are focused on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And
So you're going to poo-poo my plan.
Okay. Yes, I'm going to poo-poo your plan. I think that's kind of, I think literally that's what Paul talked about in Philippians 3. He even mentioned the Greek word for poo-poo, that this is all this stuff, because that's the type of stuff that Paul used to do. And he says, I now count it all as poo-poo. So, I think it's more about Christ in us and his righteousness rather than us filling out the Roger plan. Right.
But, I did hear a sermon that was kind of somewhat similar to certain aspects of this, and I may bring some of that up on the other side.
I've got a comment on that, too. So, let's... Roger, you said there at the end of the break about something you heard in a sermon. It occurred to me the other day, I thought about, there's lots of sermons out there. One easy way you can tell, unfortunately, a lot of sermons are essentially an old covenant in a Jesus wrapper type of thing. And I thought, the basic way you can tell the difference is if you hear a sermon, or the same thing would be reading an article or something like that, but in this case, a sermon, if you hear a sermon and it leaves you thinking, do I have what it takes or not? Am I willing to do this or not? Then you're not hearing the gospel. You're hearing religion, basically. You're hearing Moses. You're hearing the old covenant. But if a sermon causes you to get excited and to be encouraged about what Jesus has already done, and you're reminded that he has what it takes, then you're hearing the gospel. And I think pretty much every sermon you can boil down one way or the other in that. Now, it doesn't mean there's, the New Testament is filled with instructions to live this way or that way, but it's always on the heels of, okay, because you're beloved and in Christ.
It's really simple stuff. It's usually just treat people right.
But it's not, I can remember thinking back to meetings I went to even after I was, pastor and all that, where you're challenged for something. At the end, you're kind of thinking, you've got to decide, am I willing to make this commitment or not? And, when that's the case, because let me put it this way. If I told you, okay, there was a church service the other day where the minister got up and he spelled out what God expects, and he says, okay, here's how to get blessed by God. If you do this and this and this, you'll be blessed by God. But if you don't do this and this, these will be the consequences of it. And the entire congregation pretty much in unison said, yes, we will do it. And they were absolutely sincere. Now, if we just heard that story, we would think, well, that's good. That's great. That's a good church service. They got something going, but you probably see where I'm going on this. I mean, that's basically just a description of Moses in the Old Testament.
People said,
we want to do that. So old covenant, new covenant, I think that's a difference.
The basic rule of thumb, you ask yourself this, I did this the other day to a sermon. I thought, is there anything about this sermon that wouldn't have gone over in a synagogue? Because there was no mention of Jesus. There was no mention of the cross, the resurrection, no mention of God's grace, what God has done for us.
It's so first century BC.
Yeah, it was all just stuff we needed to do based on, Old Testament principles. And it wasn't that it was bad stuff, but it's just all about us and what we do. I didn't bring this up in an earlier podcast, but I did hear a message, and I hate – I don't like going to a church and sitting there feeling like, okay, I'm trying to evaluate everything. So I didn't do that. I was excited when I first heard, one of the songs was very much about what God has done for us through the gospel. Well, this is cool. I heard the message started off as out of 1 John about Jesus, our advocate, that's cool. And I thought, this is great stuff. So I was into this. And then all of a sudden things turned, and it was about checking your heart. Yeah. You got to check your heart. And so what that means is, now among other things, is you got to look at the sin in your life. And so he said, God holds us up to the light to see the flaws. Now, use the illustration, you probably heard this, like back in the, a long time ago, there were a lot of statues and people would sculpt stuff. And if you got a crack in it, they would put wax into the cracks to make it look good, but it was cracked. And they would sell it this way. And if you didn't hold it up to the light and look at it, then you might not notice the cracks, the flaws in the sculpture. And he says, God holds us up to look for the cracks in the sculpture. And so you've got to check your heart for the cracks.
I'm in trouble then.
Yeah. I mean, so that's what it's come down to. God holds you up and looks for the cracks. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And he said, one of the things you can tell is how long it takes you to repent after you sin. So in other words, if you sin today, if you wait, he said you couldn't wait 3 months. If you wait 3 months, then you're not sincere. You're not. You've got cracks, and that's not good. You got to check your heart. There's something wrong in your heart. Now, he didn't tell us how long we actually have, which was my question. I mean, what do I have A week, a month, a day? And I mean, how long do I get? Of course, he would say, if you have to ask that question, there's something wrong probably in your heart. But I thought, yeah, but that's a legitimate question. Are we expected to? So if that's the mode we're in, where we've got to, you know, figure out everything we've done wrong, which is pretty much impossible. I mean, if you got, I'm told you've got sins of omission and commission, things I did that were wrong, things I should have done that I didn't do.
That's
and
why
I,
you throw in that little tag at the end, and for anything else that we've forgotten about, forgive
yeah,
us for
that's
that
how people, yeah, but, and I thought, so then I thought, then he said this, he goes, well, it's the difference. He said, to be honest, he goes, I sinned. And I thought, well, that's good for Pastor Me. He goes, I've sinned this week. He said, I've sinned yesterday. He goes, I probably sinned this morning. I thought that was very authentic of him to say that.
That's good.
And then, but what, 2 minutes later, he said, now, sin, it's different if sin's occasional or if sin's a lifestyle. Sin cannot be a lifestyle. I'm thinking, well, if he sinned last week, and if he sinned yesterday, and he sinned this morning, that sounds like a lifestyle to me. So how do you then determine? But see, that's the stuff we get into when we're focused on behavior and sin. Yeah. When we're focused on sin management, that's... You have to get into stuff like that. I mean,
so you walk out of that service, or the average person, you probably didn't, but the average person walks out of there totally focused on themselves.
Well, and totally confused. Like, Jesus is my advocate. Well, what?
A lot of good that
what's
does
he doing? If I still get to be held up and God's looking for cracks in me, and I've got to figure out, you know, first of all, I got to figure out all my sin, then figure out how much time went by after I sinned before I confess and repent. And
so
then
God's
I got to figure out if sin,
too, then, so.
If you do the same sin every 3 months, is that a lifestyle? If it's every month, is that a lifestyle? How often can you sin before it's a lifestyle? So you get into silliness like that. But people really don't ask us those questions.
You know,
they just kind of get the overall feel, okay, generally speaking, I got to do better. And that's what you come away with.
That's part of this, a little bit different. So that's part of the problem of the whole, you know, now I enjoy good sermons as much as anyone. And so I'm not against having sermons. I'm not saying don't sermons, but that's just kind of a built-in limitation, maybe be the best word, of the whole one person gets up and speaks to a whole group. And it's kind of a group think mentality going on there. And everyone else sitting there, nobody else seems to be questioning it.
Yeah,
so everyone's thinking, well, I guess I'm the one that's confused, and everyone else seems to be agreeing, and everyone else is saying amen, and everyone else is saying that's right. So the problem must be with me. And there's never time for dialogue in that situation.
Right,
for
someone
to ask, well, what about this? And that's where, you know, Jesus' teaching was almost always in the setting of a dialogue type of thing. A lot of times the Apostle Paul as well.
And he said, the closer you get to Jesus, the less you're going to want to sin. So if you could just get closer to Jesus, you're going to want to sin less.
We talked about the idea of how close to Jesus are you. Well, okay,
I mean,
if you're in him and he's in you.
That's pretty close.
That's pretty close.
I mean, it just totally leaves you feeling that, you know, it all comes down to, I got to try harder.
And
that's
it's really what it's all about. It puts a goal out there that you need to do something to attain, as opposed to saying, Jesus has already attained this, and telling this is who you are.
Right.
And then we just don't believe that the gospel has power. The power, you know, Romans 1, you know, the righteousness of God by faith, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and salvation. We just don't believe that proclaiming the gospel and telling people who Jesus is and what he's done, that Christ himself and the gospel can produce that fruit in their lives.
Yeah.
We've got to give them rules and motivation to do something.
And I think, one of the verses, there's several verses in the Bible that amaze me that we don't hear more often. And maybe because it's kind of controversial, but in Hebrews 10, where the whole chapter really is about the fact that we have that one sacrifice did it all, sacrifice of Jesus once and for all, one time did it all. And then it says in verse, I think it's verse 2 of that, where it says, now if the Old Testament sacrifices, if they had worked, the writer says, well, then the people wouldn't have had a consciousness of sin.
There was,
they have sin, kind of thinking about sin on the brain all the time. Well, that's what we do today. We're all the time thinking about our sin. Well, how much did I sin this week? One of the guys from our group said he took an overseas business trip, and he came back. He said he did not sin significantly. I'm thinking, well, what does that mean? You did not sin significantly, you know? There's insignificant. So, but that's, it gets you thinking about stuff like that. So it's just enjoying your relationship with the Lord, having a free. Yeah. Open a vital relationship with God, you end up focusing on your sin.
Yeah, that, so, go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, just that was the distinguishing point between the Old Testament sacrifices. You had a conscience of sin. The implication is that through Jesus' one sacrifice, you don't have to live your life. You know, I love the way, I don't know if you ever read how the Message takes it, but the Message says something like you can live like, you know, scot-free or something like that. Just kind of like, I might look that up for next podcast, but it's a really cool wording how with one sacrifice, you don't have to get into all that.
It reminds me of, you know, one of the worst lines that we, you know, the typical men's group, or even if just a couple people, you know, we're going to hold each other accountable. And so the common question is, how's your walk with the Lord going?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, I've come to the conclusion that's not a good, you know, that just gets a focus
that's
on your performance.
I get that question in my group all the time. You know, how's you doing? How's your walk?
How's your walk?
Well,
is that what we're here for?
It's okay. I hadn't really thought about it. I said, well, of course, they don't. I mean,
the minute you start focusing on your own walk, your eyes are off of Christ. Right, and right. So, you know, what happens is as we focus on Christ, our eyes are on Him, He produces His fruit in us. And we, you know, a lot of times don't even notice it. Or most of the time, I don't think. You look back over time.
Right.
Hey, yeah, I can see God doing something in my life here. One thing we were going to try to mention this podcast, but we forgot, we just ran out of time pretty much, is that... Well,
we got a new project. Go ahead, Jeff. Tell them. Tell what we're doing.
We think we're pretty sure we're going to be writing another book together. We have the original book, Breaking the Hex, available.
Can
on
I
Amazon.
Tell them the title?
And so, well, we got a working title.
That's true. Have, you never know. It could change.
Don't give out any spoilers.
I won't do that. Nothing like that.
So, right now, the working title
is going to be a story. It's a story. We should say it's going to be completely different from Breaking the Hex.
Yeah, we were going to ride a different direction. Then you called me the other morning and said, "Hey, I got an idea. Let's make this fiction." And so, the more I got thinking about it, the more I liked it. So,
okay, are you ready for? Here's the title: The Unstoppable Saint Bob.
Unstoppable Saint Bob. And after we've been talking the last couple of days about this character. Well, tell me if you're like this. I've been thinking, you know, there's quite a bit of control when you write a fiction book. I'm like, we can control. Is this guy married? Is he not married?
Yeah.
How many kids does he have? What's he do for a living? What's, you know, so it's, there's a sense of control.
Well,
and
tell him what Bob does for a living. We're pretty sure we're settled
on
this.
Now he's working at a tire store.
He's a tire salesman.
We think he works at a tire store.
Yeah, and he's just trying
and so we're trying to figure out exactly what his family looks like.
And I guess we can say he's trying to be a good Christian. So, we can say that. Yeah, we can reveal that.
And so we're going to be sharing his journey. I think we have some interesting plot lines, some humor, but the unstoppable.
We'll bring it up every now and then. We're not going to talk about solid through the podcast.
Because it could be a while. It is going to be a while.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a while for
this
out. So anyway.
Unstoppable Saint Bob.
That's what's going on behind the scenes here at the Fields Brothers Show.